Right, good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, November 24th, 2015. And this says, before the first cup of jewels here on UCY.TV, happy Tuesday, everybody. It is, I think I saw it say 36 degrees and partly cloudy here in upstate New York. Did not get any more snow that I see. Maybe a little bit last night, but nothing is really accumulating. It is all in the process of melting, which is pretty damn awesome because I am not ready for winter. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show 21st Century Tech, Immortality, and Filthy Rich versus You. Oh, we looked at a story. That story made me so mad at the end of the show about the uber rich in London and all of their longevity treatments that they were receiving. And the more I read, the more annoyed I got at, you know, just all these things that they know how to do. They can, of course, do things to help extend the telomeres, which is one of the places that they're looking at longevity research using some sort of, I don't even know what it is, called TA65. And I did find some information on it yesterday, but TA65, you can even buy online. I saw like supplements, but it helps lengthen or stop shortening of your telomeres, which are the ends of like your gene caps or whatever. And the shorter those are, typically the shorter you live, the longer they are, the longer you live. So it's always a good thing to have me long. Yeah, and they were getting all these facial treatments and whatever. And it was just very disturbing as we have, you know, a large majority, not quite half. Some numbers say one thing, some numbers say another. Who really knows? Let's put it this way. We don't know what our unemployment rate is. We don't know because the books have been so cooked. But we know that there's a lot of people without jobs. We know that there's a lot of GDP that's not happening in the United States, right? We got all of these immigrant crises now happening across all of EU. We have homeless families at the holidays, hungry children, homeless veterans, all in this country. And we're spending money to bomb the shit out of places overseas and to enact laws to lock up the homeless and to penalize the parents who are just making it. Force your vaccines on you. It's very disturbing to me as to where we've come. Now, I, of course, got a message this morning just as I'm rolling out of bed, and it's one of those messages. You know, one of these days I know it's going to be a bad one, but the message I got this morning was World War III right before Christmas. Turkey downs Russian jet. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what's going on right now. I saw, too, that China now is, China's had military advisors over in Syria, as has Iran. And then Iran's lead military advisor got killed in Syria right at the beginning of the game. I'm surprised that didn't, you know, cause any huge stir. I'm sure pissed a lot of people off, but now China's working on getting some jets together. And Turkey is not happy about any of this. Turkey and Israel just lobbing bombs around. And I just saw, I don't know if it was Brandon's story, maybe it was a show yesterday, where you talked about Israel. And there's not any full confirmation of this, so don't quote me, but Israel supposedly shooting something down over Syria as well, but I don't remember whose plane it was. Maybe it was Turkey's, so I don't know. This, you know, there are too many cooks in the kitchen, too many murderers in the Syria, just slaughtering indiscreetly, and it's just, it's a murder party is what is going on. And oh, by the way, all of the defense stocks went through the roof. So any of those companies who are invested in the military industrial complex, oh wait, Google. Google's gonna make all kinds of money because they're building military apps. This just really makes me sad. So let's hope that this isn't like what we'd all feared, but they're warning now too. And remember, fear is our worst enemy. It shortens our telomeres. It makes us older faster. So don't stress about it. And I'm trying not to. But now they're warning, of course, we're going to have jihadis running around here creating terror as well for the Christmas holiday season, which I always thought would be the perfect time of year. If this all was about a religious holy war, and you want to show me how bad and evil my Western ways are, what better time to attack during the consumeristic, greedy time of year where it's all about me, 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 instead of giving to others and loving your family and trying to be a better person. I don't know. It's very sad to me. So anyway, 21st century tech, immortality, filthy rich versus you. It really has come down to the filthy rich versus you. And you is every single one of us who makes under $10 million a year. That's you. Yeah, probably less than 10. I would say even, well, let's even say, you know, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line with middle class anymore? Because I don't know. I don't know what middle class. I mean, cost of living goes up every single month now. Not year, month. Cost of living goes up. So somebody who made a decent salary in the past is making a decent salary now. Sure, you're making the same. You didn't get a decrease. I mean, that would really suck now, wouldn't it? But actually, you did, because they printed 10 more shopping bags full of cash, trucked them over to Afghanistan or Pakistan. I don't know, wherever they were given the bags of cash. And they gave some more to here and more to there. But every time they print gobs of more money, now you have less buying power. And when you have less buying power, those $12 steaks now turn into $20 steaks, you know? I don't know. So I have a show planned for today. I really know I'm going to dovetail. It's been tough. We got the holidays coming up here. Thursday is Thanksgiving. I got family coming. I haven't started cleaning. I did a little this weekend, but I literally, the next 2 days are going to be, Jewel's going to have to put her nose to the grindstone. Not bad. I just got to like strip all the beds, wash all the blankets. You know, you have people sleeping over. You don't want mounds of cat hair foofing all over. So we got to take care of that. So I've been kind of lax on my research, but the good news is I already had a show put together from yesterday, because this was the continuation from where we never left off. So we left off with the rich people getting treatments to live forever as part of their longevity project. So here's a story that caught my attention. So we've been talking about rich people and GMO and vaccines, mad science gone mad. All these things that are happening that are affecting us directly, that are being manipulated by this upper echelon ruling class who is creating themselves into this godlike group of people. Eventually, of course, they want to be able to live forever. So this story caught my attention. Resurrection plants. They're calling them resurrection plants. Offer hope as climate turns hostile. Now, it caught my attention because, of course, the word resurrection. And you know that if they don't figure out how to live forever, resurrecting themselves from the dead using newly created body parts will probably be plan B. I think if you look at the 2045 project, and there used to be a few of them. You had the Russian billionaire, you had Kurzweil with his Kurzweil University, and a couple other groups that had different ideas for 2045. And how exactly we were going to merge with the machine. Well, all those groups have merged now, at least with their ideas, and it's now a phased approach. So I think one of the first approaches would be more like the Cybermen on Doctor Who, where they take out the brains and put it into a mechanical body. But eventually they do want all organic components, I would imagine, and a body that just lives forever, that can cure itself of disease. We could have the little robot nano doctors in our bloodstream is what they were talking about at Google Life Sciences. So, all right, anyway, the resurrection plant. Resurrection plants offer hope as climate turns hostile. Now, yeah, next week we have that COP21, I think they're calling it. COP21 going on in France. United Nations Conference on Climate Change, COP21/CMP11. So I'm not sure what the acronyms stand for. It's the 21st Century Conference of the Parties. So that's what it is, COP, Conference of the Parties, i.e. the annual meeting of all countries which want to take action for the climate. It'll be held in Le Bourget, France, from November 30th through to December 11th. So in the name of the Conference of Parties being held next week, we're going to talk about some resurrection plants. Remember, it's all about now being able to engineer things, to do other special things. So let's take plants that can live without water. Amazing. As the race to adapt to climate change quickens, a South African scientist is leading global research into developing crops that mimic the extraordinary survival skills of resurrection plants. And I thought these plants were pretty interesting. You know, I get horrified over genetic modification at most levels here, but I did think that this was kind of a neat idea. I had never heard of these plants before. Jill Ferrant, a professor of molecular and cellular biology at the University of Cape Town, hopes that unlocking the genetic codes of drought-tolerant plants could help farmers toiling in increasingly hot and dry conditions. And with more than 130 known varieties in the world, resurrection plants are a unique group of flora that can survive extreme water shortages for years. During a drought, the plant acts like a seed, becoming so dry it appears to be dead. But when the skies finally open up and rain pours down, the shriveled plant bursts back to life, turning green and robust in just a few hours. She says, "I want to cater to the subsistence farmer, the person who wants to make enough food to live," says Ferrant, 55, to American Free Press. Farmers are becoming more and more dispirited, and the droughts are killing them. And perhaps the most well-known resurrection plant is the Myrophthamnus flabellifolius. Oh my goodness, and I think I said that one right. Myrophthamnus flabellifolius. I'll spell it Myrothamnus. It's Myrophthamnus flabellifolius, flabellifolius. So if anyone wants to check that out, let's say it one more time for good measure. Myrophthamnus flabellifolius. Wow. All right. So anyway, perhaps the most well-known resurrection plant is ding, which makes antioxidant chemicals that protect it during dry spells and is used in fashion designer Giorgio Armani's cosmetic line. You know, interesting too. It makes chemicals which protect it. It makes antioxidant chemicals which protect it during dry spells. It sure would be an interesting plant to start digging into its genetics. I mean, one of the things that they try to do, and we found it time and time again in science, is that they mimic nature. They steal nature's secrets. And as they learn more and more and decode more and more, poor nature has given it all up. She's got to stop. We can't show them all the keys to the kingdom. But how interesting would it be, would it be for humans for them to figure out how to be able to turn off the requirement for water to let you survive for long periods of time without water, like you shrivel up and turn into a little baked French fry for a little while, add two drops and it reanimates. I mean, pretty interesting that there are plants out there that could do that, because I honestly did not know about these resurrection plants. Maybe a cactus. You know, the cacti are about the only things that I know that can go extremely long periods of time without water. In any other desert plant, like the Joshua tree or whatever, but grass is very thin material, and something that would be, I mean, it's some grass without water in the sun. We all know what happens to that. We've seen our lawns in July, right? So, I don't know. This just caught my attention as something we should be paying attention to. This lone woman in South Africa doing this genetic research sounds kind of odd to me as well. All right. A farmer's daughter, Ferrant, recalls stumbling across a resurrection plant at 9 years old and being amazed at its seemingly immortal properties. Ding, 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 ding. I wrote in my diary about a plant that had died and then came back after the rain. She returned to the subject professionally in 1994 and has since become the world's leading expert in her field. Environmentalists fear the more and more of Africa will be reduced to a dust bowl by global warming. Yeah, and the United States as well. Look what's happening to California. And with higher temperatures, reduced water supplies, and population growth threatening to trigger worsening famines, climate change could also reduce maize yields across all of South Africa by as much as 30% by 2030, according to the UN Environment Program. So, of course, yes, let's make sure we beat this all home. There won't be enough food for you anymore in the next 15 years. So you better get used to the raising food prices now that you can no longer afford. I mean, I just read this stuff. This is just, what are we leaving for our children? So let's genetically modify lots of plants now and let's see if we can get them. I mean, what's going to happen if the corn, sure, the corn can survive droughts. Well, we don't have rain, but look, there's all that corn there crumpled up on the ground. And if you had just a few drops of water, if you could scrape together enough goats to pay the rich overlords who now own all the water, so you could put just a few drops on your field to reconstitute them. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I mean, I see it coming to that. We saw T. Boone Pickens buy that large tract of land that's over that Algoff aquifer. And when he did, he was like, this is blue gold, baby. We see now oil prices went through the floor after OPEC flooded the market, and all of a sudden our booming oil economy, especially down in Texas, went flop because the prices tanked so bad. Now, I saw headline news as we have Turkey shooting down a Russian jet. Headline news, oh, oil prices are going up. Yeah, the Saudis won't be happy about that one. They poked us in the eye with a stick by making sure those prices tanked to hurt everybody. You know, but as this is all going on, and of course, gas prices are going up, food prices are going up, Jobs are drying up. Holidays are coming. Oh, the holidays add more stress. The stress of the holidays, right? They've said that holidays aren't supposed to be stressful. Holidays are supposed to be like a kickback day. There's no mail. There's usually something good on the idiot box where you could just like drool and watch a good old, I don't know, football game or Mystery Science Theater. By the way, I mentioned in chat yesterday, Mystery Science Theater 3000. Anyone who's ever been a fan, I was a fan back from when I was in college, back in the old days. Mystery Science 3000 is doing their Turkey Day marathon again, like they do every year. I think it's on their YouTube channel. They're going to be live streaming all day, and we usually just put it on all day and laugh our asses off in the background. But anyway, all right, let's finish this story. Environmentalists fear that more and more of Africa will be reduced to a dust bowl by global warming. And the thing is like, they're really, and now with the COP21 going on, trying to get all these countries to jump on board and cut their carbon outputs. And I saw that the head of the UN Climate Committee or whatever she was, I don't remember what her name was, but she was already bitching all these countries had committed to their, you know, 2020 goals or whatever. And she says, oh, that's not enough because it's going to raise us 2 degrees Celsius by what we're outputting. And don't forget, Bill Gates coming out at that TED conference talking about the same thing, except this was years ago, and how we had to cut our carbon quotient down to zero. And Bill Gates, of course, is involved in all of this stuff, in the Oxitec freaking mosquitoes to be flying vaccine givers. You know, we have Bill Gates now involved in CRISPR. Cas9 investments. Bill Gates involved in permanent birth control. We read about that as well. As well as many, 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 many other things. See, it's the rich people. It's the filthy rich versus you and me. And the filthy rich are just about ready to take over the rest of the natural resources. And we know they're giving us some bullshit story as to why. Why it's all our fault, why we have to suffer, why we have to do our part to save the planet for our children. Hey, how about you stop bombing the shit out of an entire continent? How about you stop spending my money in ways that I didn't authorize you to? Nobody asked me if I wanted to kill little kids and parents. You know, it just boggles my mind that there still are not enough people out there. I saw one of my very best friends, and I'm talking like, let's go back to 1995. So 20 years this year if we've been friends. Post on his page yesterday, some mem. Actually, I should find it because I was almost going to respond, and I was like, no, that's dumb. He just doesn't know any better. But very bothersome. He's known me 20 years. We worked together. We sat right next to each other for a long time. I'm godmother to one of his children. He knows me well. He sees me post my shows sometimes. Yet he says smart cookie, one of the smartest people I know. But what does he post on his page yesterday? Do you hear this? I was just disturbed because I was like, well, this could be happening to him. This is what's happening to everybody. It says, while I'm here, and it's a bullet pointed list of all the dumb things that people like me say. It's a list of all the dumb things that people like him say to people like me who are trying to raise an alert. There, I'm better. It says, bullet point, aspartame does not give you cancer. Now, this is not me saying this. This is some idiot's mem. Gluten is not bad for you if you're not allergic or don't have celiac disease. Really? Superfoods aren't real. They're just healthy things with maybe some nicer levels of vitamins. What? You know what? If it wasn't for my super greens, I'd probably be half dead right now. How about number four? Vaccines do not cause autism or really anything else, and the chemicals present in them that typically scare you are in such minute amounts that they do nothing in your body. What? I just couldn't even believe this. I was so upset when I saw this, and I was like, you know what? I got to respond, but I just can't. I just can't respond. Well, how do you respond to this? I mean, if you are that closed-minded, and it goes on. Number five, you cannot do a liver cleanse or diet to, quote, rid your body of toxins, unquote. Your kidneys and your liver have that covered. Obviously, he has never had any major physical problems with being poisoned or having allergies, I guess. You absolutely can rid your body of toxins, and your liver can become toxic. And you know what? Your liver becomes toxic from the shit we eat in our food. Number six, GMO foods will not kill you. The most genetic crop modifications just make our crops hardier. Like we were just reading about the resurrection plant. And produce more food. And genetic modification doesn't inject chemicals into your food. It's just minor altering of DNA that is made of the exact same stuff your DNA is made from. What? And there's like the most twisted GMO food description I have ever read. The person who made this meme doesn't have half a clue. No, they're not injecting chemicals into our food. They're spraying pesticides all over our food. They're splicing genes of who the hell knows what, cockroaches and bacteria. And I don't know, how many sick things have we seen spliced to spider goats? I mean, all you have to do is listen to this show for the last 6 months and you'd be like, oh my God. So, I mean, whoever this person is who wrote this mem really needs to be slapped in the head. And here's the last bullet point on this very upsetting mem. If you feed your cat a vegan diet, I will personally come to your home with the skull of a long dead predator and point out the shape of its jaw and teeth as indicators of predatory feeding habits. So, you know, anyone who's going to take care of their pets and try to keep them safe, which I'm telling you, I already know that pet food is definitely not something that you should think of as safe for your animal. They don't give two shits about you and me. They don't give two shits about what is going into your kid. And if they don't care what's going into your kid, they most certainly aren't going to be caring what they're feeding your animals. I mean, don't you guys remember that melanin scare? All those animals were dying, liver failure, and they're like, oh, it was the sprinkly stuff we were sweeping up off of the pet food factory floor and putting it into Fido's crunchies. And maybe it wasn't even dry food. A lot of times it was the treats even. And then your animal's dropping dead of liver failure. I mean, they don't care. So that's just bothersome. I mean, there was somebody, 20 years I've known them, has multiple children, very technical, well-read, smart kid, and just doesn't get it. And I'm not going to argue, because he's one of those people I'll never win a fight with. I don't know. I seem to pick all these friends. These friends who we touche and I can never win. Oh, I think I like the controversy. Okay. So anyway, let's get beyond that. I found out something more interesting. So we have this GMO salmon. We heard Hal talk about it on Sunday. The GMO salmon that finally got approved by the FDA. It's actually been sitting, trying to fight for approval, and there's been all kinds of issues since the 90s, which I thought was very disturbing. Because it makes you wonder, and I don't know the whole entire story behind it from the 90s until now, but really makes you wonder what all the issues have been with potential safety issues or whatever since the 90s. Like, why has it been sitting for so long? Well, here's a story that came out a few days ago, and I don't think I'm on my before the first cup page, so it doesn't matter. About a company we talked about quite a while ago in regards to Oxitec. I mentioned them earlier. Oxitec, those genetically modified mosquitoes where they use that gene drive, the CRISPR-Cas9, to be able to splice and dice whatever traits they put in there that would wipe out the mosquitoes if they didn't get a certain protein, or once they reproduced the babies, you know, they had all these, there was population suppression was one method that they were using, and then population elimination was the other way that they were modifying these mosquitoes. And, you know, that Oxitec and some of their mosquito projects also had funding from Bill and Melinda Gates. That's why I'm telling you, you know, those guys are trying to eradicate, quote unquote, malaria. But don't think that these experiments and these insects, right? We talked about that in the very beginning. That's how science starts doing this stuff. They work on the fruit flies, mosquitoes, mice, primates, you know, all these other creatures long before they get to humans. Because a lot of our DNA structure is similar between animals. And once they start learning to push buttons and made all their mistakes on the lower life forms, then they can start messing around up here. Well, more billionaires getting into the game. Interxon's billionaire CEO is betting on the most controversial GMOs. So, right, I told you, this is where all the money's going to be. Let's make sure the rich, the filthy rich, and the powerful start acquiring all these technologies so they can rule the world and control everything. Since you probably never heard of Interxon, unless, of course, you've listened to Before the First Cup, but you've certainly seen headlines about the controversial companies it has recently acquired. There's Oxitec. Yes, Interxon acquired Oxitec, the UK company that was developing these mosquitoes that nobody in the United States was going to let them let go. So what'd they do? Oh, they butt slapped and palm rubbed Mario Cuomo. No, wait, Mario is the father. What the hell's his name? I never remember Cuomo's first name. Andrew. Is it Andrew Cuomo? Is that him? I don't know. Lots of Cuomos up here. Our governor. And somehow, mysteriously, we read a story back probably 4 months ago or so. No environmental study. No checking with the area around to discover that, oh, you had all these organic cabbage farms. No! We just let loose the first place in the United States, at least on the record, we just let loose a whole shit ton of genetically modified Oxitec moths. Yes, the cabbage moths. Right near all the cabbage fields who were organic. Well, you better believe the organic farmers aren't happy about that, because what happens, these moths go sit on the cabbage and lay their eggs. And now we have genetically modified moths, first ones released in the United States, first genetically modified insects that they've told us about released without any public comments even. It was very underhanded. And now they landed on all those organic crops, and they think that those organic farmers are going to lose their organic certification. I haven't seen an update on that. But yes, that same Oxitec is now owned by this billionaire CEO. Says then there's Oxitec, which they acquired and wants to release genetically modified mosquitoes also to fight dengue. And you remember, there's all kinds of outbreaks of dengue happening now. They were warning about it in Florida. Remember, they wanted to release all those new GMO mosquitoes to combat dengue down in Florida in the Keys, and people screamed about it, so they didn't do it yet. Now I just saw there's been all these outbreaks in California. Yes! California, let's release the mosquitoes. We also had the first outbreak of dengue since World War II, I believe, a few months back in Japan as well. How interesting. But remember, dengue, is a tropical disease. And oh, but we're starting to see it all over because of what? Oh, climate change. Yes. Diseases will abound, but don't worry. We will have a genetically modified insect to cure you. This just makes me so upset. And don't worry either, because all the fish in the Pacific is dying. But hey, Aqua Bounty, whose genetically modified salmon has been stuck in FDA approval for years. And we read back a few days ago in a story that I was looking at, it's been since the 90s they've been sitting there. Well, guess what? InterExon bought Aqua Bounty too, so they own the GMO salmon that just got approved. And Okanagan Specialty Fruits, which grows genetically modified apples that don't turn brown. We talked about those as well. Well, guess what? InterExon bought them too. So we have mosquitoes, salmon, and apples. At a time when public opinion against GMOs has gathered enough momentum to get GMO labeling laws on the ballot and Chipotle to tout itself as GMO-free, those are bold business moves. And yeah, let's talk about Chipotle for a second. So Chipotle comes out and says that they're GMO-free, and bang! They get hit with an E. coli outbreak all over the Pacific Northwest, Washington, California, Oregon. And I don't know how many stores it was or how many people got sick, but then bang! And right when you thought it was over, we then had an outbreak in the Northeast. Yes! I saw there was Chipotle in Buffalo, Ohio, a couple other states. So poor Chipotle, that's what happens when you go against the machine. Man, there's E. coli everywhere, and it must be because they don't have GMOs. I mean, you know, that's the way that they're going to spin this. Oh, if you'd had genetically modified stuff, this wouldn't have happened. Look, you unhealthy people, you people who might think you might like raw milk versus homogenized, pasteurized with human growth hormone. If you drink raw milk without all of our additives and poisons, you will get sick. Yes. See, it's like the Jedi mind trick they're playing. Says, we don't have any analysts who understand our company, says InterExon CEO Randall J. Kirk with clear delight during his keynote speech at what? Synbio Beta. Syn as in synthetic, bio as in biology, and beta. Synbio Beta last week. Kirk played the renegade on stage, issuing a slide deck touting InterExon's lack of corporate headquarters and railing against those well-established incumbent companies that can afford to always lobby Congress. And of course, he talked about changing the world, all of which played very well to the crowd of San Francisco entrepreneurs. We found out there's a lot of scary stuff going on in San Francisco. We found that guy, I don't remember his name. The guy who is offering for a buck, to anyone for a buck, Cambrian Genomics. You can create your own life form. Yes. All right. But Kirk, a billionaire from selling two previous pharma companies, is no guy tinkering in the garage. Well, phew. At InterExon is a 700-person synthetic biology company, a company that gets more coverage in the financial press than the science presses. Says, I am a lifelong student of business, and when he sat down for a conversation with Wired Magazine, and his interest in synthetic biology is clearly an economically driven one. And we've talked about this. This is like one of the growth markets. Anything that we've had traditionally, we talked last week, almost the whole week, was all about disruptive technologies and how usually in a generation, you see a few disruptive technologies that take an entire industry and turn it on its head. But it seems now this is the great intersecting point in time where we must have 100 disruptive technologies that are coming full frontal, full speed at us. And all the rich and powerful are invested in them. They're all making bazillions of dollars. And they're making bazillions of dollars on tax dollars in many cases that were sprinkled their way from organizations in the federal government, such as DARPA, that sprinkles money at the university where they do all the research, that then spin out their own little startup company with backing from billionaires like this who then turn around and buy them. All right. I don't know if I really want to read like his whole blurby thing here, but I guess we can a little bit. Let's see how this guy's brain ticks. Kirk's reputation as a businessman is what makes acquisitions like Aqua Bounty with its GM salmon so interesting. 65% of Americans have said that they will not touch GM fish. And mainstream supermarkets like Kroger and Safeway have said that they won't carry it either. And oh, after 2 decades of review, the FDA has yet, so they're saying has yet to formally approve the fish. I am pretty certain that they did. This story was from the 10th. Yeah, they did. I saw a story from probably less than a week ago, and the FDA finally approved it. So how much money did that take, right? We know all about all the fraudulent studies that have been published in the FDA trying to keep us wink safe. But buying a majority stake in the company, which is this GM Aqua Bounty GM Salmon Company, Inner Exxon likely kept it from collapsing. So, oh, he did a good thing by buying them. Why make such a risky bet? Well, I'll tell you why. Because if you're paying attention to what's going on in the Pacific, the salmon are gone. the anchovies are gone. There's the Pacific fish bounty is no longer there. The fishing off the West Coast has collapsed. And of course, they're blaming it all on toxic algae blooms. And of course, the toxic algae blooms come from what? Oh, climate change. Yes, again, another 7 ways to Kevin Bacon. We can tie it all to Google DARPA, or if not, tie it to climate change. Anyway, Inner Exxon can afford to play the game, blah, blah, blah. And my page is now frozen. Do, do, do. All right. Yeah, that page froze, but that's okay. Let's read a little bit about the genetically modified salmon from the Center for Food Safety. So this was 10 days after that article came out. Center for Food Safety today announced plans to sue the Food and Drug Administration to block the agency's approval for sale and consumption of genetically engineered Aqua Advantage with a registered trademark symbol, salmon, developed by Aqua Bounty. And of course, yes, that is the point now, isn't it? To be synthetic biology, to create copy organisms, copy cells, copy genes, copy seeds that they've made modifications to, they could put a little R next to it, make it registered, make it owned, put a patent on it, and then lock it up for, I don't even know what they're allowing them now, 20 years, 50 years, whatever it is. But yes, that means they can make money on it. It's a good investment. The suit will be filed in coordination with other colleague plaintiffs. So I guess there's definitely some lawsuits going on here. It says the fallout from this FDA decision will have enormous impact on the environment, and the Center for Food Safety has no choice but to file suit to stop the introduction of this dangerous contaminant, referring to the GM salmon. FDA has neglected its responsibility to protect the public, says Andrew Kimball, executive director of the Center for Food Safety. In approving the Aqua Bounty transgenic salmon, the FDA ignored millions of Americans and more than 40 members of Congress who have expressed vocal opposition. The FDA also neglects the concerns of more than 300 environmental, consumer health, and animal welfare organizations, salmon and fishing groups and associations, food companies, chefs, and restaurants. And approximately 2 million people also filed public comments with the FDA in opposition to this action, the largest number of comments ever received by the FDA on an action. Quote, the review process by the FDA was inadequate and failed to fully examine the likely impacts of the salmon's introduction and lacked a comprehensive analysis. This decision sets a dangerous precedent. But whoever's writing this story, we've established that this is status quo. Remember, an apple is an apple, a potato is a potato, and apparently a salmon is a salmon. Now, did you guys know that officially this approved salmon is the first quote-unquote genetically modified meat that's been approved on the market? Now, we had read they had already approved cloned animals, and we discovered that, gave them the rubber stamp back in 2008 for beef, chicken, and pork. Not cheap, but, and no labeling. You didn't have to label them. So cloned animals were already allowed. They're working on genetically modified pigs. We just saw there was a story out of Canada, and they have done some genetic modification on milk cows, right? We read about that. They cloned them first, and then they spliced human genes into the milk-making components of the genes and artificially inseminated those cloned cows to then produce a herd of 300 cows that were expressing human milk out of their teats. You know, so, I mean, as far as we know, the first genetically modified meat on the market's going to be the salmon. But I wouldn't guarantee that. I don't trust anything the FDA does or says or approves. You know, remember the FDA also approved the Chinese chicken. And that was back 6, 8, 10 months ago. Saying, have fun. You know, if you think it's cost effective to send your chickens to China and cull them and package them and cut them up in the Chinese factory and then ship them back, or cut them up and put them into your canned soup product or frozen food meals, hey, go right ahead. Chinese chicken for dinner. Yeah, Chinese chicken's going to keep you safe. By a study by Canadian researchers, are these the Canadian researchers that all got let go for opening their mouths? I don't know. A study by Canadian researchers found that genetically engineered Atlantic salmon can successfully crossbreed with brown trout, a closely related species common to the area surrounding both Aqua Bounty's facilities and posing serious risks that wild populations that are already under duress and many additional longstanding concerns regarding impacts to wild species in the environment were raised during a 2012 Senate hearing remain unanswered. And what kills me is that this has been in arguments for 20 years and all of a sudden something changed that we could just, whoop, yeah, let's approve it. We got 2 million people filed public comments, the most ever with the FDA, but we ignore them all. I mean, I have a friend, Drew. You guys remember Drew? Drew used to do Double Cross Radio with his aquaponics farm. And I remember when Drew was trying to get permission to get his tilapia for his aquaponics. And his locality, his local, whatever you call them, permit approvers, whatever he had to do, get licenses or whatever, to run his business, had a fit over the tilapia because up in Oregon, tilapia apparently is considered an invasive species, except he doesn't live that close to the water. It's not like fish have wings and can fly, but they gave him a really hard time because the tilapia is not native to there, and if it ever got loose, it could be devastating to the native environment. And so he had to go with a different fish. And I don't remember what fish he went with, but it wasn't tilapia. So along those same lines, So we're worried about tilapia somehow sprouting wings and flying to the ocean in Oregon, but we're not worried about these GM salmon that apparently can crossbreed with native fish and forever contaminate the natural environment? No, don't worry about those. You know what? These will be better fish anyway. These will be ones that can survive death and disease and live forever and reproduce with special characteristics. I don't know. It just really bothers me because nobody is watching the store. We put our false faith into these agencies and they're all making big bucks. And then we find out news stories, you know, half these guys are sitting around watching porn at their desks, not paying attention to the issues, but watching porn on the taxpayer dollar. How many different agencies are hookers and booze with taxpayer dollars? We saw the IRS. We saw the FBI. We saw, oh, I don't know if the USDA and the FDA were ever involved in any of those, but I could guarantee you they are not watching out for you and me. There's all those studies. All those studies that they let go through, never redacted, of false and fraudulent research that's out there. That people like my friend who posts a meme with 9 ridiculous things that means he hasn't done any of his research if he's making fun at stuff that I talk about. The FDA has pulled the wool over all of their eyes. Because they told us it was safe, it must be safe. You know why? Because our government would never do that to us. Ever. Right. History repeats itself. Look it up. Aqua Bounty has also faced criticism for failing to follow basic environmental regulations in Panama, where the experimental fish are currently being raised. And environmental groups in Canada have sued that country's government for allowing the GE salmon eggs to be produced there, potentially putting the ecosystems and species such as wild salmon at risk. The FDA has not acted in good faith with the American people. Rather than informing the public, the FDA's announcement appears to be intended to minimize public awareness. Consumers concerned about their personal health may not be able to avoid the fish, and well, unless you do like I do and don't eat any fish. While 9,000 grocery stores and numerous restaurants have vowed not to sell the genetically modified fish, the lack of labeling laws, yes, the ones that they just got rid of, lock, stock, and barrel, and they're even going to get rid of them more with the TPP, mean that the and the Dark Act mean that the average consumer will not have a choice. Well, you will if you just stop eating fish. But hey, you know what? They're going to take care of it all. If they contaminate all life on this planet, they're already working on a frozen ark. Yes, frozen ark collects animal DNA in the face of mass extinction. And remember, they got the seed bank, too, up in Iceland. Is it Iceland or Norway or Iksvikits? Some cold place, the seed vault. A British-led project called Frozen Ark is preserving the DNA of endangered species before they disappear, as the Earth undergoes what scientists are now calling the sixth mass extinction. And yeah, we talked about that one too. We forget about that, but scientists are saying, yeah, we think we're seeing the signs. This is the great sixth extinction. But don't worry about it. Go back to sleep. Go shopping. Many of these species are going to go extinct before we even know they exist, says John Armour, professor of human genetics at the University of Nottingham, which is host to the project. The whole idea of the frozen ark is to get and preserve that material for future generations before it is too late. Yes, so we can have something like a Jurassic Park at some point in the future for our children. Cloned wildlife that we didn't know how to take care of our planet and be good custodians. So once they're all dead, we can reproduce them and we could like mix and match. Press of a button, create new life forms. I don't know. I thought this frozen ark idea made me very sad. Launched a little over a decade ago by British scientist Brian Clark, who died last year. His wife, Anne, the Frozen Ark Network now has 22 partners worldwide. And in all, 48,000 samples have been collected, and they belong to some 5,500 species. In Nottingham, some of the 705 samples are in special cards to keep the DNA at room temperature, while others are in a freezer at minus 80 degrees Celsius, which is 111 degrees Fahrenheit, including samples of a Siberian tiger and the Armor leopard. And the white rhino, by the way, there were only four left in the world, and number four died a few days ago at San Diego Zoo. So there are now only three white rhinos left on the entire planet Earth, by the way. Let that sink in for a minute. Anyway, many conservationists see this project as defeatist, says Professor Ed Lewis, a trustee of the Frozen Ark. Their attitude is that we should be putting every effort into saving the endangered species. The fact is that it is impractical and impossible, says Lewis. We are not there to replace the efforts to save. It is a backup, and it can hopefully save the genetic heritage of just about everything. But if the invertebrates die, then we all die. Well, yes, it's called the food chain. It was the extinction in the wild of a small snail unique to Tahiti, which was destroyed by the introduction of a carnivorous snail intended to eradicate other invasive mollusks. And I think, actually, this is the end of the show. Damn! We were running out of time. Maybe we'll have to talk about this later. We'll continue on this tomorrow. All right, guys, everybody make sure you stick around. It is Tuesday. Tuesday is always awesome radio. Ken Blanche up next. All right, guys, have an awesome